account. Hi, good morning again. We're resuming our studies on Matthew next week. And this week I thought I'd bring you, I guess they are some of my favourite verses in the Bible. And I think there's some verses that when I first came across them sort of brought the Bible alive to me. They're very practical verses. Now we've just sung a song they're from Isaiah. We just sang a song saying how great thou art, but I think maybe if we're honest, there are times in our lives, or maybe times in lives of people we know, where they might have thought that at one time, but then through the struggles of life, they wonder, I wonder if God is that big, strong, powerful, mighty God that he once was or was talked about in the Old Testament and the New Testament, but I wonder whether he still is that now. That's sort of the situation of the people who Isaiah was addressing in these verses. They were struggling a bit in life and were wondering, where's God in this? Maybe he's kind of lost his power, or maybe he's elsewhere and he's kind of forgotten us. And maybe, you know, you can identify with those people. So Isaiah was kind of at this point was stepping in and getting alongside them and racking his brains. How can I get across to them just how big and powerful and majestic God is, you know, kind of right now, that he hasn't lost that power. He's still very much that powerful God, and he is very much, whether you realize it or not, working away behind the scenes, achieving his magnificent purposes. So he kind of got alongside them and he was saying to them, if you like, let me describe our God to you. And he thought in terms of, I guess, word pictures, talking about God in ways that they could really identify. He was kind of talking figuratively to them. And he starts off, or he asks a series of questions, if you like. And the first one that he asked was, well, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? I mean, who could possibly measure all the water in the earth just in the hollow of their hand? If you went to the aquatic centre in Porirua there and asked them, how much water have you got in your swimming pool? I'm sure they could pretty accurately tell you. Maybe not 100%, but they could pretty accurately tell you how much water they had in their swimming pool. But then if you thought, well, how many of those swimming pool containers would I need if I were to measure all the water in the inlet? Now, you'd be starting to scratch your head. Okay, how many of those swimming pool containers would I need to measure all the water in Cook Strait? Okay, getting about, what about Tasman Sea? What about all the water on the entire earth, including sea, rivers, lakes, and everything? How many of those containers? I mean, who could possibly measure all the water of the earth? Well, Isaiah was saying, well, you know, our God, so big, so majestic, so powerful, figuratively speaking, he's done it and he's just held all that in the palm of his hand. That's how majestic and powerful and big our God is. He goes on, what's another question I could, all with the breadth of his hand marked out the heavens. If you were to get in a spacecraft, if there was such a one invented, how long would it take you to kind of head out in space until you hit the end, whatever that might look like or whatever that might be, or whether you actually get there? How long would that take? We haven't got a clue. Okay, and then you head back, hit Earth again, and then head off in another direction. How long would that take? Well, we don't know. Years and years ago, when I was a young sound person, I was doing a shift in Parliament, and it was a pretty boring shift because it was a slow news day on that particular day, and somebody was reading the Dominion, and it said that there was going to be a Russian space station was going to be tracking overhead, and you could be able to see it in Wellington. So we noted down the time, and then we left hoping there wouldn't be a large news outbreak. We left the studio and all sat on the main steps of Parliament there looking up at the sky. And it got a bit irritating, really, because there was all these stars and the moon was out, and it was very hard to detect anything that was moving. But they said you'd be able to see it'd be red, and it would be, which was interesting being a Russian space station, but it could, you'd look for this red thing and it would be tracking across the sky. And we finally saw it. One person saw it and we looked up. You know, and we're all absolutely amazed that the brain power of, you know, a human being could make something that could track across the sky with four people in it. We were absolutely amazed. But then kind of a thump to me, thinking, oh, well, what's that little red dot compared with that amazing array of stars that were kind of once irritating us, and the magnificent moon that was out and just seemingly going on forever? You know, what is that compared with that little dot? And then Isaiah says, well, that majestic starriness that you can see, our God's so big, you know, figuratively speaking, it's just between his thumb and his little finger. Well, that's our God. A majestic and amazing God. The same God of the Old Testament is the same God today. I thought, right, how else can I get across to them? Well, he says, who has held the dust of the earth in a basket? Now, if anyone knew about dust, it would be Isaiah and the people he was kind of getting alongside. It is a tremendously dusty region. And who could possibly, you know, gather up all the dust in that country and all the dust in the world and put it in a basket? I did a bit of investigating. This is the most expensive vacuum cleaner I could find that you could buy in Porirua. Anyone want to hazard a guess at the price? $1,000? $4,000? Not quite $4,000. $2,229. And I'm sure there's probably more expensive ones hidden away, but this is domestic. We're not talking industrial here. Domestic one. $2,229. How many of those would you go through, do you think, vacuuming up all the dust in the earth? I don't think they would last too long. An impossible task. Well, not for our God. Figuratively speaking, he has gathered all the dust in the earth, and it's just in a basket over there. You know, just that's how big our magnificent God is, Isaiah was saying. The same God of the Old Testament is the same God today. Right, Isaiah would be thinking, what else can I, just to build up the picture, or weighed the mountains on a set of scales. I think I've told you this before. One of when I was in Nepal with a friend from work and my sister and brother-in-law, another time we were walking there and there was a signpost to get us, a signpost, and it pointed up and it was telling you the height of this next point, and it was the same height as Mount Cook. It was just beyond a village that we were going to stay at. So we thought, oh yeah, that'll be cool. Let's get up to the height of Mount Cook. I mean, we weren't mountaineering or anything. This was, you know, walks and by Nepal standard. But the height of Mount Cook, thought, oh, that'll be cool. So we slogged a bit and we got up there and we were expecting to sort of look down from a, you know, this great height. But when we got up there, we were in awe. 360 degrees around us were these huge, majestic mountains. We were dwarfed at the height of Mount Cook. And Isaiah was saying, now who could possibly measure the weight of these mountains? I mean, who possibly could? Well, Isaiah was saying, you know, our God's so big. These mountains are just on a set of scales. He's done it. It's nothing for him. And almost there's a throwaway line. Oh, and the hills are in the balance. You know when you go on the Tararuas, those little hills that you just about kill you slogging up? Huh, they're just on a balance. Just a little thing to our God. That's who that majestic God that you're thinking maybe he's lost his power, or maybe he's forgot about us. No, Isaiah was saying that God is still the same God. And he goes on, who has understood the mind of the Lord? You know, they were wondering, well, maybe he's making some bad decisions, or maybe he's just, you know, his plans come up stuck. But Isaiah says, who has understood the mind of the Lord? This was it's a bit hard to read. This was an invitation when I was a young sound operator to a sale of the century party. And they put in a Gavin Larson car too. And the writing down there, you can see the scores up there. Says, yes, that's right. The answer is Wisconsin. Wisconsin. Hang on. I'll just get out of the... another 50 points for God, and looks like Norman, our current champion, hasn't even scored yet. So you can see the tremendous imbalance in the scoring, if you can see that. Well, that's kind of the concept. You know, God's mind, God's brain, if we think in those terms, is totally removed from, you know, our concept of it. And who can, you know, who can possibly give God, you know, advice for what he's doing? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? If you got all the computers together into one mainframe, you know, would that have more knowledge than God? Well, no, it wouldn't have more knowledge than God. Who taught God what he knows? Well, no one taught God what he knows. Where did he learn it? Well, he's always known it. He didn't learn it. Our God is pretty amazing. And it's the same God in the Old Testament who's there today. He's beavering behind the scenes, working out his plan for us and for humankind in general. And sometimes those, or lots of times, we just, with our finite brains, we can't understand it, but he's working away. And Isaiah carries on. Surely the nations are like a drop in the bucket. This is when I was a young teenager, we went on a family camp with a church I was involved, and just before dinner, there was a massive water fight erupted around these concrete toilets. And it was one of the biggest water fights I've been involved in. There were buckets of water, rubbish tins of water. And so much, we're enjoying ourselves until at one point the camp manager came out and he erupted and said, unless this mess, which was just water in a concrete toilet and surrounds, unless this mess would clean up, then no one at camp would be getting dinner. So anyway, we endeavoured to clean up. But during that epic water fight, when you're running around with your bucket of water and it sloshes a bit and a drop falls out, I mean, you don't stop, put your bucket down and your world's ended because you've dropped. You don't even worry about it. You just carry on with your water fight. That's what Isaiah was saying. You know, these great nations are just a drop in the bucket. I used to have this on my wall as a young fella. There was a magazine called Reach Out, if anyone remembers that. It was kind of a youth culture magazine that was out. But this was a cartoon that was on the back page. And it's hard to read from where you are. But it's these superpowers, each bragging about their nuclear capability. So it was in that era where countries were racing against countries. And the first one is the Indian government bragging about how they had arrived. They had their first atomic bomb, and they were now a world power. And then the British government get on and saying that that's nothing. They can wipe out whole cities and have had for years. And then the next one, the French government gets in on the act saying that's nothing. They can destroy an enemy in less than 6 minutes. And then the Chinese government get on and saying that's nothing. They can wipe out all of America 3 times if necessary. Then the US get involved saying that's nothing. They can destroy Russia 8 times over in under 3.5 hours. And then the Russians get involved and say, that's nothing. They can destroy Britain, the USA, China, altogether 12 times already. And then the bottom frame of the cartoon says, that's nothing. You know, the nations compared with our God are, you know, a drop in the bucket. And Isaiah then says they are regarded as dust on the scales. You know, and if you jump on a set of scales to weigh yourself, you don't, well, I'm sure you don't, kind of brush off all the, you know, whatever dust there might be on them. You don't, maybe that's not a good illustration. But you see the concept, you know, a drop out of a bucket or compared with our God, that's nothing. And then we jump down to verse 17. And it's kind of a sum up before he starts his next little passage. To whom then will you compare God? You can't really. Isaiah struggled to compare God, but he's incomparable. And that's the God who loves us. You know, that's the powerful God who wants to be involved in our lives. That's the powerful God who is working behind the scenes, achieving his purposes for us and achieving his purposes for mankind in general. And that's the God who allowed his son. You know, all that Isaiah tried to describe who God was, that's the God who allowed his son to be born as a human being and come and live on this earth, to leave heaven. He was recognized, he was a centerpiece of heaven, and then came down to earth so that we could come back into a relationship with God. And that's the God who wants to get to know us, and the God who we should be getting to know in a mighty way as well. So when life gets that little bit tough, and you know, we wonder where God is, has he kind of lost some of his power? Has he gone away? Is he aloof? We can think about these verses in Isaiah that describe just who God is right now, and that he is involved in our lives and in our involved in this world. So let's give thanks. Father God, we again thank you for your word, the Bible, just how practical it is, and thank you for people like Isaiah who, with your Holy Spirit's help, really strove to describe, give people a picture of who you are and your mightiness. And again, we're humbled to think that because of what your Son did, leaving heaven and dying for us on a cross, that we can have a relationship with you. So we again just thank you for that. And just help us to remember just who you are during those tough times. Amen.